Good morning. Welcome to Cross Point at South Hanover. My name is Pastor Jason. It is good to see all of you here this morning. It is summertime. It is absolutely here. And somebody was just commenting this morning, looking a little thin this morning. But it's okay because it's summer. And we're going to talk about how we take our faith into the summer this morning. But before I get there, I want to draw your attention to your worship folder and two things in particular. I talk about these every week because they are important to me, and I hope they're important to you. Your communication card. This is one of the ways you communicate with us as a church. We would love your feedback on the service this morning, on the message. This is a one-off week to talk about summer, and then next week we dive into our VBS curriculum. This is a great way to give those comments and feedback. And then also your prayer requests. If there's any prayers on your heart or on your mind today, we would love to be in prayer with you. I know last weekend, Kevin mentioned Eddie. Eddie is a jockey with Penn National who's been coming here for quite a while now. And he had a stroke on Monday. We've been in prayer with him all week long. And he is now out of the hospital, and he was supposed to move to New Jersey last Tuesday. He's going to be moving this Tuesday. So God willing, all goes well, and there's a speedy recovery. But these prayer requests are vital to us. It holds us together as a body. So please fill those out and put them in the offering basket at the time of the message. And then at this point in service, you need this insert. These are your teaching notes so that you can follow along with our message this morning. And there's lots of white space on there that you can write down extra notes, other little things that come up that you find of interest. So please be sure to follow along because we've got some good stuff here this morning. As I said, it is the start of summer. And, I guess for me, the start of summer is not Memorial Day weekend. I know that's the unofficial start for a lot of people. It's kind of like the start of the picnic season. But, you know, for me, I think it's this week is the start of summer. It's the week that Josh and Joe Hardy disappear from the office because they're at a graduation every evening of the week. Monday night was East and Susquehanna. Tuesday night was CD. Wednesday night, I'm sure they had somebody. Thursday night was LD. And Friday night, we moved from graduations over to Relay for Life. And we had an awesome time at the Relay over at LD's track. There were tents and families were there. They were camping out all night long, all to benefit the American Cancer Society. We had a great team and a really great relay from 1 o'clock Friday afternoon until 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And so, this to me, a new tradition kind of thing, this feels like the start of summer. You know, I know June 21st is officially the seasonal start, but this is the real start of it. This is where everybody's out for the year and summer truly begins. And as a church, we recognize that. As a church, we recognize that attendance gets a little bit lighter in the summer. We're not stupid. We plan our programming to be accordingly. We recognize that summer vacations happen and schedules are difficult. Finding coverage for our ministry areas are difficult. And so we pull back on our children's ministry, on our family ministries, on our youth ministries, and we give our leaders a break over the summer. But just because we have a break doesn't mean that we stop. You see, a lot of people think, you know, the summertime, that's a great time to pack up God and put him away with the winter clothes, right? You know, you pack up that drawer of long pants and put them in the closet and in goes your Bible as well. But see, that's not the case. I mean, I've heard every great excuse for why we shouldn't attend church over the summer. I've heard them all. You know, it's such a pretty day. I want to stay home and enjoy the weather today. Uh-huh. It'll be that way after church. It's only an hour. Like, you'd have slept through it anyway. I like this excuse. I need a break from dress clothes. That doesn't apply here, y'all. No Sunday school. What am I supposed to do with my kids? Really? Worship, it's in addition to Sunday school. Like, come on. I've heard the excuses that it's too hot and that it's too cold. I don't know that I can solve that one. It's going to be too hot for somebody, and it's going to be too cold for somebody, and that's not a valid excuse for just dumping worship. But the one, probably the single one that, I'm a financial person, the single one that I like the most is I went on vacation, and I don't have anything to give this week. I can't afford church. I just kind of stop on that one, like, God already paid it for you. You know, the giving is just kind of, that's separate. You don't pay for play. That's not how this works here. You know, you just show up. I don't, we'll work on the giving later. The excuses continue, and they're very good. I've used some of these myself. All the people I know are on vacation this week. So who am I going to talk to in worship? That gets to something else. The times don't fit my schedule. Some churches go to summertime schedules where they move like the 11 o'clock service to 10, and so they do 9 and 10, and then that's it for the day. You know, maybe that doesn't fit your schedule. The one line that I've heard a couple times recently, and this just isn't the summer, my parents forced me to go to church as a kid. I'm not going to force my kids to go now that I'm an adult. Your parents also forced you to eat your veggies and go to school. Are you going to give them an option on that one? These are valid and justifiable excuses, and they make sense in our heads. But when we stop to really pick them apart and work through them, we wonder, is this really a valid excuse? And the single greatest, the pastor goes on too long, and I'm going to miss my lunch reservations. Thanks, Mark. We have great excuses, and they really do make sense. I mean, I'm joking about these, but they are valid excuses, and they are things that we have to wrestle with through the summertime. But they don't negate the very simple truth of our faith, and that is that you are here on purpose with a purpose. That is a truth that is valid regardless of any excuse we can throw in its face. You are here on purpose with a purpose. You are here in this world, in this worship space, in this community, in this congregation, on purpose. It is part of a divine plan. It is part of God's intention. God has crafted you into the body of Christ, and He is expecting you to live out your purpose to be Christ's hands and feet in the world. And you can't just decide to hack yourself off from the body for 3 months. Like, you're going to die if you do that. Anybody amputate anything recently? Like, it doesn't keep living when it's detached. You are here with a purpose, and if you're going to live out your purpose, you need to stay connected. You need to stay part of the body, and summer doesn't negate your purpose to be God's presence, the presence of Jesus Christ in the world for other people. In fact, I would argue that summer gives us a very unique opportunity to do this even better than we do it during the school year. Summer gives us a unique opportunity to be the hands and feet of Christ because there are fewer distractions. Think about your school year. Whether you have kids or not, we all live our lives according to the school year because kids monopolize parents' lives, and that just affects the rest of us. And so there are sports seasons, there are school trips, there's homework. Our workloads at regular work get tougher during the school year because somehow over the summer we're able to cut out early on Fridays. Have you ever noticed that? Like, you can get out at noon on a Friday if you really want to over the summer. Most jobs will accommodate that. And yet during the school year, you are so stressed and so ragged and you're running from place to place to place that when you do church and when you do education, you do a small group or something like that, you're just going through the motions. Like, you're so exhausted from the other stuff in your week that this is just another hour that you have to cram in. And when it's done, you're like, oh, check that one off. Another week accomplished. But see, the summertime is different. The summertime, everything kind of slows down a little bit. And you're able to actually come because you want to. You're able to actually enjoy the life group that you're part of and enjoy the study that you're reading or that book that you've been meaning to get to. The summertime provides you a unique opportunity to grow closer to God with creative activities and with going to camp and being part of a mission trip. You know, but see, for us, so often, we like to think God and our commitment to God should live on our own terms. It should live on our own schedules. And because it's the summertime, we should be able to pack God up and put Him on a shelf, you know, with the rest of the things. But see, I've done relationships like that. In high school and college, I had a few dating relationships that were out of convenience. I would call when I felt like calling, and when I didn't feel like calling, I wouldn't call, right? And some of you have had relationships like this with a significant other or a spouse, and you know, sometimes you have date night with a really nice dinner date. Maybe you go to the theater or the movies or something like that, and the rest of you sit home and watch TV with your date, and you eat a refried dinner, right? Like, you know what a good date is, and you know what a not-so-good date is, and those who have experienced a whole bunch of the not-so-good dates, what happens to the relationship over time? It gets not so good, right? Like when the phone calls stop and the texts don't happen, the relationship starts to migrate apart when it becomes a relationship of convenience. Why do we think any different with God? You see, when we don't invest in our relationship with God, what's to hold us together? What's to grow us closer to one another? If you tried to take 3 months off of your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, what would happen? I don't know that you'd be together. In fact, I had a relationship in college like that. We weren't together come August. I don't know why. Wait, I do. It's because we have to invest in what we value and what we want to succeed. And so many times we want to use the line and we live the line that I'm too busy. I'm too busy with work or with sports or with this or with that. And you can easily be too busy over the summer. But you, by declaring that you are busy, you have to choose who you're going to cheat. I heard a sermon some time ago and a presentation, really good, by Andy Stanley. I'm an Andy Stanley stalker, if you've never heard that. I'll tell you that story later. But so he writes this book, Choosing to Cheat. And in the book, he basically lays out, you know, as a pastor, he's writing to pastors, he says, you need to make a decision who you're going to be committed to first. You're either going to be committed to the congregation and every little thing, or you're going to be committed first to God and your family. But you need to make a choice now, because at dinner time, when the phone rings, you need to decide whether you're going to answer it. And so if you're going to answer it every dinner time, then you need to tell your family when you walk into dinner, look, the phone is going to ring tonight. I don't know who is going to call. I don't know what their problem is, but it's going to be more important than you. And I'm going to answer it, and I'm going to respond to their needs before yours. You need to choose to cheat. Now, as a pastor, I stepped back and I said, oh, that doesn't feel good. That really frames it differently. Apply that to your own spiritual life. Because when we put our vacations, when we put our own time off, our own need to sleep in on a Sunday morning, or our own need to amuse our own personal free time before God, we're choosing to cheat God. We're choosing to pull out of that relationship with God. And God takes just as much a back seat as my family does when I choose the phone over them. You see, this isn't easy. I don't want to lay a guilt trip on you. I think there's other churches that do a really great job of that. I don't need to add to that. The point is that this is something we all struggle with, is where does our faith come in, and how much is it going to affect our schedules and our lives? Because the simple truth of it is that following Christ comes with a price, even in the summertime. We like to think that that's not the case, but what are we willing to commit? What are we willing to do? How devoted are we to God? Because this isn't a works righteousness thing. This is a relationship thing. How much are you willing to put into the relationship? Are you willing to do the same sort of thing that Alden Strait did for his brother? Alden Strait was 73 years old. He was suffering from glaucoma, and he had lost his driver's license. His brother lived in Ohio and was on his deathbed, and Alden couldn't get anybody to give him a ride to visit his brother. So he did the only thing that he could. He hopped on his lawn tractor and drove 20 miles an hour for 240 miles to visit his brother. Would you do the same thing for God? Do we have that kind of dedication? Is that the kind of relationship that we're willing to invest in? Because I know for a fact God has done that and more for you. Because he gave his son. This morning we have a scripture passage that comes from Hebrews chapter 10. And the writer of the scripture says just as much. Christ has invested so much in you and laid so much out for you that you have only one response available. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Megan. In those three simple verses, you hear some very powerful wisdom. the writer starts out. We're not sure who writes Hebrews, but it's a very theologically astute person. They've really done their homework, and they understand Christ, and they understand the church, and they understand how faith lives out in their daily lives. And in verse 23 here, he says very clearly that we are to hold tightly without wavering. And I think the writer of Hebrews was probably an exercise fanatic. He was a trainer who understood how easy it is to get up every day at 5 a.m. and do your exercises, and then one day out of the week decide, I'm not going to get up this morning. Because one day turns into 2 days, turns into 3 days, and sooner or later you haven't been to the gym in a year. You see, the writer of Hebrews understood something very, very true about us. Our habits are hard to build and easy to break when we want to. So often we think that we should live into a good habit, a healthy habit, and yet they're hard to do. If you do your devotionals every single day and you have that time carved out in your schedule, it's easy to jump over it. Maybe your devotionals are early in the morning, but if you stay up late at night doing some extra work for work or with the kids at a special event, like a graduation party or something, it's so easy the next morning to decide, I need to sleep in this morning. I worked so hard last night. It's easy for that to turn from 1 to 2 to 3 to months. Just the same, if it's at the end of the day, it's easy to jump over those devotionals at night. It's easy to jump over the time with family. It's to sit around the dinner table. You know, this week we're going to have pizza, and we'll just sit outside or in front of the TV having our pizza. And you don't do the devotionals or the family conversations that you used to. And then that builds, and you decide tomorrow night you're going to go out to McDonald's, and the next night you're going to go to Aruga's, and the following night you've been invited to a friend's house and to a cookout. And so all of a sudden this family time that you were so used to around the kitchen table, it disappears because it's easy to break some habits, and it's hard to get back into them. I love the wisdom, though, from Revelation. John says in Revelation, remember your first love. Stay in love with God. If you saw Pastor Josh's Facebook page this week, just yesterday, I believe it was, he posted a picture of a beautiful creek and stream in the distance, and he had his Bible opened, and he was doing his devotions that morning. That's easy to stay in love with God, to just sit there and soak up what God has to say to you this morning. You don't know what's going to be there, but when you stay in love, when you hold tightly without wavering, it makes all the difference. And it builds in you a hope and a trust because, you see, God can be trusted to keep his promises, says the writer of Hebrews. God's not going to take time off on you. Could you imagine if you woke up in the middle of the night, you had one of those nightmares that wakes you up in a cold sweat and you just sit up in bed? And what do you do? You know, some of us, the first inclination is, oh God, what was that about? Lord, okay, take this, let me get back to sleep, please. What do you want? Could you imagine if God just had a little sign hanging above your head that said, out to lunch, back in 15? Like, how would that go down? Or maybe God decided, I'm on summer hours, I'm off on Fridays, sorry. Really? God doesn't do that to us. God is available 24/7, 365. And he can be trusted to hold true. But if we're going to understand that trust, if we're going to live into that trust, we need to be reminded of it every single day. Hold tightly without wavering so that you can know that trust. Personally, I'm struggling on this half of the verse. Right now, there's an uproar in the United Methodist Church. I don't know if you've followed my Facebook posts or if you know anybody that's been following it. You know, there was a suggestion that the United Methodist Church should split. And for me, I sit and I pray about that, and in my humanity, I can't see where this is going. I don't know what the end looks like. And so that brings in frustration, that brings in doubt and question, and I sit and I just, I'm anxious. Am I going to retire from this thing or not? Like, what's going to happen to the church? And yet I know I can trust in my head and I can trust in God's word that God's got this covered, that he's going to work it out. I need to hold tightly, unwaveringly, to the faith, to the word, to what God speaks. And part of that trust is built by one another. It's built by you, by each of us. The writer of Hebrews says, think of ways to motivate one another. to motivate one another to trust, to motivate one another to respond to God's love, to God's sacrifice. And so this morning, we want to help motivate you for the summertime, for this opportunity to live into your relationship, this opportunity to live into your faith. And we've come up with a creative list. You're going to find this absolutely fascinating that we thought of this. I'm positive of it. You'll be excited. First, spend time with God. Isn't that creative? I know it sounds so commonplace, and yet over the summertime, it's the one that's easy to lose. So let me give you some simple resources. I read this book every morning. This book is My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. It's a great devotional. It's easy. It's simple. It's small. One a day. I can read one page a day. It takes me 5 minutes. That's it. And it sets my mind to thinking, and it gives me a scripture passage. Then I can open up this thing. It's called a Bible. They're great. They're fascinating. I know a lot of you have these massive Bibles, like they're this thick, and you need a suitcase to carry them all, and you've got commentaries and stuff that you carry along, and you would never take that on vacation. If you need a Bible this size because it fits better in your suitcase, see the hospitality team after worship, because we not only have these Bibles, we also have these really cool-looking Bibles for kids, for families. They've got family activities in them, ways that you can grow your faith by spending time with God. These things are amazing. And if this is too much to pack in your suitcase, now for me, seeing it, that helps me remember, hey, I need to do my devotionals. So like I keep it around the house in a place that I'm going to see it and be guilted into doing it because guilt works for me. It just does. But maybe you need something a little different. Most of you have these sorts of things. And there's a great program called YouVersion. It's a Holy Bible application. You can download it. And they've got dozens, they've got hundreds of different devotional activities that you can do on there. You can create a reading plan for 90 days, 30 days, a whole year. You can read through the Bible. You can read through just certain books. It's thematic. You can pick a topic that you want to study. Maybe you want to study fellowship, or you want to study communion, or you want to study grief. They've got them all. And it's great because a little warning pops up on your phone and it says, hey, you didn't read today. And it makes you go in, and you either decide to dismiss it while you're driving, which none of us text and drive, or you sit there and you get to your destination and you decide, okay, I've thought about it long enough, I'll do it. And it works. You see, spend time with God and find these little devotionals that are going to draw you closer to Him. Whatever's going to work for you, you need to find the tool, because when you do that, when you spend time with God, you draw closer to God. Another way you do that is in weekly worship. It's here. I love seeing you here. You all are absolutely wonderful, but I know schedules change. I know schedules change. I know that, you know, some of you can't make 11 o'clock or you can't make 9 o'clock. You know what? We have 3 campuses. It's great. We've got a 9:30 service at Rutherford. Do we have a picture of Rutherford? Rutherford looks so cool these days. Look at that. Ain't it cool? They got new lighting. They've got couches and comfy chairs and really nice people. You can go to Rutherford over the summer. Campus hopping is okay. It's campus hopping. It's not campus relocating, okay? Y'all come back here. But it's great. It gives us a new opportunity, a different context to worship in, a different time that might match your schedule. Maybe you want to go to Colonial Park. They've got an 8 o'clock service. It's very traditional. And then they've got a 9:30 that's blended and an 11 o'clock that's contemporary. Find a service time that fits you, and campus hopping is okay. And maybe you're out of town. Maybe you're out of town on vacation. That's no excuse to skip worship, right? I mean, there are some great houses of worship all across the nation. If you're looking for a great church to go visit, tell me where you're going. I'll give you a church. I'll give you a suggestion. And if you don't feel like coming to me, why don't you go talk to Aunt Ethel, who you're visiting? You go to her little country church. You are going to make her day. She's just going to be so excited that you decided she was important and her church was special. And it makes a big difference, because you know what? There's something to be learned in every house of worship. There is something. They may not do it the same. You may not think it's as good, but there is something of truth there. The Spirit is present. We're not building Cross Point here, folks. We're building the kingdom. There's a difference. So spend your time in weekly worship, and then don't neglect our meeting together. Be part of a life group. A few years ago, you might notice we changed the term from small group to life group. Because you see, a small group is about gathering together for a small group of time with a small group of people. A life group is about doing life together. And doing life together happens over the summertime too. It's not just the sermon-based series. It's not just the sermon-based studies. It's people that get together from church and they decide, hey, let's go to Hershey Park today. I got tickets. My kid works there and has 4 free tickets and we don't know what to do with them. It's about going to the local pool. It's about going down to the riverfront. Did you know that on Saturday, June 28th, this band is going to be playing the City Islanders? Harrisburg City Islanders, Faith Night, Saturday, June 28th. Great time to go to the island. Or catch a Senators game with some friends. Just sit next to the person you sit next to here this morning. Like, maybe you don't know them. You've never met them before, but you can get their name pretty easily. The great part about the summertime, you can ask this person. You're like, hey, you go to Cross Point. Do you want to go out sometime this summer? We'll go to a Senators game. And you go to the Senators game, and let's say it's the absolute worst experience you've ever had in your life. You know the best part about summertime? You never have to do anything with that person again. It's cool. It's safe. You're not committed to like a 14-week study series or a life group that lasts the rest of your life. It's a short opportunity to grow in a relationship. And the even better part is if you actually like this person, you found a new opportunity, a new relationship, a new growth place. You see, summer is a great time for pool parties and picnics and campouts and cookouts. It's a great time to go and do things like Relay for Life or be part of the youth party. We're going to have a youth party in a couple weeks for all of our students, anybody, whether they're part of the youth ministry or they're not. Just to come out, and there's going to be slip sliding and foam, and it's going to be absolute craziness. It's going to be awesome. It's great. It's one opportunity to grow in your life. And maybe you want to use the summertime for a short-term study. Later this summer, the end of July, we're going to start a series on prayer. And I'm going to do a short study on prayer using 2 books, using Contemplative Prayer by Thomas Merton. He's this really great monk who talks about prayer. And we're also going to touch on some celebration and disciplines. And we're going to talk about prayer and how to go deep. And for 6 weeks, you can suffer 6 weeks, okay? If it doesn't work for you, if you don't like it, that's okay. You never have to pick these books up again. But for 6 weeks, you can suck it up, right? You can do this. Summer is amazing. It is a new opportunity to grow into God. All we got to do is lay hands on it. All we got to do is take advantage of it. And with all these new opportunities, one of the things that doesn't change is your opportunity to give. You see, giving financially is another way that we grow closer to God. And we've talked about that as we grow and as we give of our time and of the treasure that God has given us. But see, giving doesn't stop over the summer because ministry doesn't stop. I know we're not stupid, and we kind of stopped some of the programs over the summer. But believe it or not, our staff is busier over the summertime than they are during the school year. Most of our programs run from, you know, late August, early September, all the way through the end of May, beginning of June. But you see, over the summer, our staff take entire days away as a team, and we do planning for the rest of the year. And we're in these meetings all day, and we're making phone calls, and we're lining stuff up, and we're training people for ministry, and we're just running through stuff. And this is the time that we do our own study and our own preparations for the fall because we know we're going to be busy. And Pastor Josh, he like falls off the face of the earth for the summertime because he's got so many mission trips. You know, this is what happens. And when that happens, the need doesn't change. And so financial giving is so valid and important. And in your worship folder, there's this blue form. It's a great opportunity for you to be consistent in your giving. While you're doing campus hopping, I don't want you to do giving hopping. Just saying, this is a great way to prevent giving hopping. But it's one of those things where you can go on vacation and you don't have to worry about when you get back and you've got to write a $2,000 check because you've been gone forever and a day. This is great. It drafts according to your desire. See Skip here this morning or see myself, and we'll be glad to give you more information about it because we know all about it and we do it. But see, I'm going to give you an even better one. I can't believe I'm doing this. Did it first service too. So last night I'm at Ray's wedding. And a woman that I haven't seen for years walks up to me and she strokes my beard. And she says, what are you doing to yourself? It wasn't Joni, but it was at Ray's wedding. And apparently there's a lot of people that don't like my beard. Go figure. I love it, but... Oh, exactly. Thank you. I look like Eli's older brother when I shave. But anyway, so I'm going to issue a challenge. This summer, if we raise $5,000, I'll shave my beard. I'll let you shave my beard. $5,000. Now, what's the $5,000 going to go towards? It's going to go towards debt reduction. Because we have a loan here at the Perking Point, at Cross Point, for $375,000. And we want to do great things in the fall. But that means we have to be faithful stewards. And so if we can hack away at some of the principal on our loan, that'd be great. So for $5,000, I'm pretty sure 8 o'clock raised about $4,500. There's some older ladies there that really don't like my beard. But it's an opportunity to give. It's an opportunity to have an impact on ministry, to grow closer to God. And as you're doing that, as you're giving of your money, your treasure, there's also an opportunity to give of your time and missions, to get into a mission, because you're going to grow closer to God as you get involved in a mission. See, over the summertime, people take vacation. I don't know if you noticed. You know, I know we're in America, and we don't like to take all our vacation time, but people do take vacations. They do have things, at least they want to do over a three-day weekend. And we have ministries that go all year round. And our food pantry and our clothing connection, they happen on Saturdays, which can be very difficult to find people. And so maybe that's a great opportunity where you want to plug into missions for just a short term. You don't want a lifetime commitment, but just a short-term opportunity to grow. When you meet the people that come to the food pantry, you're going to be blown away. Both of those ministries are amazing, and they would love to have some part-time temporary help. Or here at the Perking Point. You know, we have orders that need picked up. We have errands that need run. We have events that we do all through the summer. And we're hit by vacations just as much as you are. And so maybe there's a part-time involvement there, maybe on a Friday night. Or on the back of your notes page, there's an article about the HIM ministry, the home improvement ministry. Maybe you're handy, or maybe you're not. They'll tell you. Don't worry. But they're building a kitchen this summer on July 12th and 13th, and they need help. These are great opportunities to actually be the hands and feet of Christ. Opportunities that you can take advantage of because it's summertime. You don't have as much as is bogging you down through the school year, and it's not a commitment that's going to carry on through the school year unless you want it to. Get involved. Get involved like our students. I believe Kyle's here this morning. Is Kyle? Yeah. Kyle. Come forward, my son. Anybody else in middle school going on the middle school retreat? The middle school mission trip? Okay, our middle school missions, they are not going to Detroit, as I said in the first service. You're going to Tennessee, right? Mm-hmm. What's the name of the city?
Copper Hill,
Tennessee. Is this through Team Effort?
I believe so.
Okay. Team Effort does some really amazing missions opportunities throughout the nation, and they typically are building houses. They're working to repair houses that have been damaged in storms, that there is a financial need that they can't do it on their own. Sometimes they make these houses handicap accessible. Sometimes it's kind of like an episode of Hoarders, and they're just getting rid of 30 cats and trying to put in new flooring. Like, you never know what you're going to get until you get there. And people like Kyle and the other students that you see on the screen, they are giving of their time. They're giving of their summer to go and serve, to go and grow closer to one another as a group, but also closer to God. And so I want to pray over Kyle this morning. I want you to pray with me. If you want to extend a hand over him and pray with me and for him and all the students, would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your spirit in Kyle's life, for your passion that you've set in his heart to serve and to live for you. And you are shaping him and the other students every single day. You are making them more and more like Christ, that he is the hands and feet, and he is a disciple for everyone to look to, for everyone to be able to say, that's what it looks like. And so, Lord, bless him, anoint him by your Holy Spirit. Let him have the words to speak to the families that he meet. Give him safe travel. Safe travel on the bus, safe travel through the field, safe travel with friends that he can go down and come back. Give them safe service. in missions, that no one gets hurt, Lord, but they're just living their lives for you. Bless them that they may grow deeper spiritually to know you more, and that the lives that they touch will truly be changed. All this we pray in Jesus' most heavenly name, amen. Thank you, Kyle. You see, summer's not a time to give up on your faith. It's not a time to check out and go to the pool or go to the beach and absolutely pack God away. Summer is a unique opportunity, an opportunity like you haven't had all year round. Take advantage of it. Don't miss it. It's a chance for you to grow closer in new ways. Amen? In just a moment, our hospitality team will receive your tithes, your gifts, and your offerings. They're looking especially for your communication cards and your prayer requests because they want to be in prayer with you as well. And if you have a blue slip that you'd like to fill out and turn in, I'll take those too. I'll be glad to answer questions about those because it makes a profound difference. Please give this morning with a thankful heart.
We started late. Sorry.
We started late. That was the problem. Okay. Yes. Blame the band. And I did mention if you need a Bible on the way out, hospitality team, come on down.